Thanks for listening to this Arrow FM podcast, shared on accessmedia.nz with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Kia ora whānau, welcome in. It's your cousin Shane. We're here at Arrow FM, your local community station, where we deliver the goods, whānau, and only the goods. Nau mai, piki mai, I rungi te taumata nei. This week we have a fruitful manuhiri. We have someone who I vibe with. We have manuhiri that is, he's helped me grow within myself, recognise things, I guess helped me recognise that I needed to work and provide for my children. But we'll get on to that later. So our manuhiri for this morning, whānau, tuatahi, is a good friend of mine. I call you a whānau, whanaunga. Whanaunga to me now, my brother. Hoi anō, ko Trevor Simmons, nau mai, my brother, welcome, thank you so much for being here today. First part, ko wai koe, my bro.
Kia ora, Shannon, thank you so much for having me, it's a real honour. The topics that we've got today to look at are a little bit varied, but they're quite good fun. Yeah. I met Shannon, like you said, I run a course in the Wairarapa. We teach people how to readjust their lives so that they understand what it takes to fit in, be part of our community and support each other. It's quite good fun, every kind of person through our course. Welcome to all Māori whānau and Pākehā alike too.
Kia ora, my brother. Hey, just to enlighten everyone a little bit more, just a better understanding also. How much time have you actually spent here in the Wairarapa? And I notice you're always with my cousin, who I always see you with, so I'm guessing he's very tight. But did you grow up around here? Or how long have you actually been back here, bro?
I grew up in the Wairarapa. I'm from the South Wairarapa. My whānau have been living on the lake edge of the Wairarapa, Lake Wairarapa, from about 1858. We farmed through there. We've monitored the lake as a family for many years, kept an eye on the water. As a little child, I used to fish in the lake with my grandfather and my uncles.
Beautiful.
And the lake was green, clean water. We caught a variety of kai out of there, flounder, trout, saw the odd octopus and shark come through the nets as well. I'm talking 1972, 73. You know, and you're a little fella, you're out there in the evening with a tilly lantern holding it above your head in the water up to, you know, sort of here, and your uncles are sort of waist deep pulling the nets around, and you've got to stand there and see what kai comes out of the net, you know. A little bit after that, I was involved in a fish count around about 2014, down at Lake Wairarapa, 2016 maybe. And the only fish we found in the lake was rudd and perch. And there was no tuna, no coda. I never saw any native fish in that catch that we pulled out of the nets. That's one of my concerns, is the quality of the lake in the Wairarapa. And just how apathetic people seem to be about what flows into it. You know,
beautiful.
We could be filtering that water on the way in, dealing with it. There's lots of options out there.
We'll touch more on waterways a little bit later, but moving forward, I'll just give everyone a gist on what we'll discuss this morning. The first will be Magna Carta, if no one knows that, we'll speak into that. Well, do you say, from what you were saying earlier, that's where the actual word treaty originates from, or the use of the word?
I believe treaties come all the way back, back into Roman times. All right,
really?
All the way back, goes back a long way, even back into Sumerian, Babylonian times. But the Magna Carta is a good one to start with because it relates to New Zealand quite a lot. Our main treaty, the Treaty of Waitangi, is based around that one.
Yeah, do you mean
and constructed out of that ideology, I think.
Are you
probably
speaking He Whakaputanga or Te Tiriti?
Well, the treaty, He Whakaputanga, when we look at He Whakaputanga, it appears, and look, I'm not an expert, but I've been reading a lot about it lately because of the social conversations that are going on around Masterton through Hapu and Whānau about the government are trying to adjust an arrangement that was created in good faith so we could do business together and get along.
Is that he whakaputanga?
The treaty. And yeah, he whakaputanga sets the stage. Okay, that identifies Māori and their requirements and who they are in New Zealand. And what they require. There's a piece in he whakaputanga, I think it's the fourth one down. I was looking at it a little while ago, so I can't actually say exactly where it is. It's just at the start, number four down the list, I think, and it talks about mana whenua, and it talks about kaitiakisha. And to me, they're really important pieces in he whakaputanga, because when we look at what mana whenua is actually, it relates to the earth being a sacred placenta for all life to be nurtured and grow out of. And then straight after that word, we have kaitiakisha. Well, kaitiakisha is the caretaker. He looks after all of that kind of stuff. And under kaitiakisha, there is no ownership of anything. Because you're only kaitiakis.
That is all we are, my brother.
Kaitiakis, yeah. Well, and the land and the whole place here is left for future generations. You know, we all have children, and I'm privileged. I have a married granddaughter. And her whakapapa's beautiful. And what's there for her if we interfere with what we've set up in the past to preserve what we've got here? We need to really, really, really look, guys, at what they're actually trying to achieve and why they're trying to achieve it. It's all about money.
You hold that thought right there, because we're going to take a break. We're going to come back and continue on what they're trying to achieve by their behaviours, applying them on us. So we'll just play a song and we'll be back.
Okay, buddy. Sure.
This song here is for our kaimahi at our whai ora. Have a good day today, Wahine.
I could not help but notice you. I met this really nice guy sitting by a fountain on a sunny day, with short brown curly hair and his hazel green eyes caught my attention. And then he got up slowly and walked across the green, green grass. He came to me unexpectedly and introduced himself to me. He said, I could not help but notice you from a distance. So could I face it this day with you? Na 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 na.
Sat down and we talked a while. Told me her name also learns the child. The way she spoke, the way she stared. When she looked at me,
she looked at me.
I tell you, I couldn't help what was going on.
Stupid finally.
Couldn't believe
I was
sitting right in front of me.
I'm what?
I'm so glad.
Te rohe nei. Ka mihi whānei. Ka pete katoa. Everyone's having a good week. Just why we're having tēnei. We have our Te Ara Ārongo intake tomorrow, which is our cast point at the school there, whānei. So should be another 8 out of 4 impacted 8 weeks of productive mahi for our tani. Some growth there, so kawe wari wari. Look out for our tani.
I think of you when I'm down and out, and I'm facing my darkest blues. You'll be my guiding light. You'll be my shining star. You'll be my sweet soul perfection, burning for affection.
Kia ora whānei, welcome back.
ROFM, Wairarapa TV, it's your local community TV, where Cousin Shannon's got the goods. Again, this week, we have our manuhiri, a friend who I call now a whanaunga, part of our hapu, and someone I see more than once or twice a week, and someone that I'm growing with, so yeah, welcome back in whānau. Kia ora Trev, so bro, we were at, here's what I want to pātoi around the kāwana. Why are they trying to adjust the treaty? And I say adjust, because when you're adjusting something, it's to suit yourself. It's not an amendment, it's an adjustment. So it's to suit them. You know what I mean when I say them.
Sure, buddy.
And I love why you're here today. So none of my Pākehā mates can say that I'm racist. And you and my cousin are the... So I see you and how my cousin went. I know what you're up to. You try and honour the tiriti within your fella's own friendship.
Yes.
That's what I recognise with you and my cousin.
Yep.
You both live your fella's world to honour the tiriti. That's how I see. So why are they trying to adjust the tiriti?
That's a really good question, Shannon. I'm glad you brought that up, because it brings a whole pile of situations to light. And look, please understand, I'm not a politically motivated person. I'm a New Zealand guy. I grew up here, been a soldier, a fireman. I've done a lot of different jobs in New Zealand, worked with At Rescue for a few years. So it's not political. It's about what's legitimate in behaviour. And I look at the legitimacy of the behaviours that I'm seeing coming out of there at the moment, and truly it does seem to be illegitimate. What could that kaupapa be? Well, there's a lot of resources in New Zealand that they're not talking about, that they've just relocated. They knew about them, but they lost them where they were a while ago. Plus, there's only a small community here in our country, and it's pretty easy to test out ideas on us. So there's all these ideas that are floating around out there. What are they actually up to? Well, if you're changing the treaty is for business. So we can have business deals between the Crown and people here in Māori can get along and stuff like that. What would be the business that they would need to adjust?
Yeah,
you know,
exactly that.
These are things that people need to ask themselves. I mean, I could list a whole pile of things, but they're only my ideas.
Mm.
People need to take note and listen and look it up and learn all about it. You know, it's a continuous journey for me. I'm always encouraging people to investigate life, investigate, have a look. The other week we all walked through town protesting the adjustments they were hoping to do with the treaty, which is illegitimate. You cannot adjust that legitimate document. And everyone always brings up the word legal. Stop it. It's about legitimacy. We have to be legitimate in our lives. That's tika and puna. And are you being legitimate in your life?
Brother.
You know, I mean, you are, brother. Your whole life's tika at the moment. And
I love
you're
what
a,
I'm up
you're
to
a wonderful, you. Wonderful example of how people can adjust the world and fit in and get along. It is a daily worry for me when I see so many people walking homeless and in the street. We have 68 million dollars of annual income through Māori. I looked it up on the internet.
Oh, talking about that, is that the Akaroa accounts that you led me on a bit of a... I haven't stopped looking into all those.
Yeah, there's a lot in there, eh? There's a lot in there, and
cousins,
you know about it.
Cousins, we're rich cousins.
Yeah,
we've got a plenty of cousins. We wouldn't allow to spend it.
It's, you know... I guess when you're talking about money, I struggle with money in all things Māori. It doesn't seem to suit all things Māori. Te ao Māori and money don't seem to go hand in hand.
Yeah, I noticed that.
When you get money involved, you lose the love of the land, you lose the love of the whānau. People start focusing on what they want and where life goes. And maybe that's the agenda of the government. You know, I don't know.
Mm.
Like I said, it's not a political moment for me. It's about, hey, guys, we need to all take a good look at what's actually happening around us.
Yes.
You know, a lot of Pākehā are walking along with us.
I love it.
Because we understand the importance of he whakapūtanga to protect the mana whenua as kaitiaki. and we understand the importance of the treaty so we can organise trade and business between us and get along without any umbrage or any concerns.
And it's doable.
It's doable and because it's doable. We do it on the coalface daily.
It takes more
daily.
People like you, Brent.
We are, as people in New Zealand, we get along.
I know.
It's only when we bring in all these outside country influences and stuff that we have issues, you know.
Yes.
There's so many topics that we could fan across the top of and enlighten everyone that these are things we all need to discuss openly around the kitchen table, over cups of tea, in public.
Are we already do that?
We do. We have cups of tea and we chat because it's an opportunity to swap ideas.
I love our, so we won't talk too much into, but I love our small rōpū of tāne that gather, when we do gather, there's a good quality of tāne there within from our hāpuri. That's the good thing that I like about our rōpū, the quality of tāne that all come together to help all of us grow. There's about 6 or 8 of us, and that space is for us, for our own internal growth. And that's what I love. But you created that. Our other whānau, who we won't talk about, created that space for us to learn. I'll just talk, before we continue on, because I want to go back to the He Whakaputanga and Te Tiriti. I just want to talk about how you're the, apart from Jock, but you're the only other Pākehā I've seen do Mahi Whakaero.
Oh, true.
I know we weren't talking about that, I'm looking at your pounamu, and can I just grab that for a sec, please?
Oh,
I'd love
papi.
To see.
Ai, this is
Pani.
Pani, that's the name.
Pani.
Pani, that's the name of the whale that bone came from. Yeah. Uncle Pani.
That's my grandmother's name.
Oh, true.
Yep. Pani.
It's the bones from Waikakino. Out that way, yeah.
Waikakino?
Yeah, out that way, yep.
Yeah, we know some people from out there, eh?
Yeah, it's a pretty special spot, eh? Waikakino, it's a beautiful area. But, you know, the taonga are absolutely fun to make and carve. We're actually doing lots of different little bits and pieces from time to time. I guess the sacred nature of all whakaero brings all of the heart and soul and all the memories and the pūrākau, the stories, and all of those things are extremely important components. Like, you know, some people don't realise this is a sperm whale. You know, it's in the ocean.
Te wā whānau.
And that's the shape, you know. And
That's the whale there. Yeah, that's the shape of the whale.
Yeah, and the story of the patu. Where does the patu come from? The patu comes out of the marae stories of Tū Matawinga and Rongo. Having a discussion about who is the boss on the marae, and they actually ended up having a physical dispute.
So what, Rongo is part of, like, a bit of weaponry kōrero too?
Yes, just because everyone assumes he's the god of peace, and I mean, you, to be peaceful, you have to be able to look after yourself.
Kia ora.
Only a truly capable man who can look after himself can be peaceful, because he can be the other way. As well, violent, and he's chosen to walk the peaceful walk. A lot of our men do that. A lot of the tāne and the wairarapa are extremely peaceful people. I love
your mate's too peaceful.
It makes everyone
your
peaceful.
Best mate, he's too peaceful.
Yeah.
It needs a bit of two in him.
Yeah, well,
but I guess that's what all of us are about.
Had a punch up. They had a fist fight, and they were even. So two went away and caught up with his, I think it was Fiddle, and got himself a taiha. And Rongo, he shot off and caught up with his other older cousin near Tangaroa, and Tangaroa gifted him the Meri Pounamu, and they came back to the Paipai and they had another dispute over who was the boss. Out of that dispute, we set up the kawa for the Paipai.
Kia ora.
And two drove Rongo back into the Wharenui doorway. And once he got in the doorway, he couldn't get through the door because the patu held him out. So two, the god of courage is outside on the paipai, that's his world, and inside the wharenui is Rongo.
So just to clarify, when I get to the point where I'm delivering my mihi or my axe on the paipai,
yep.
There's normal, eh?
No, that's two.
It's too, no, but it's normal practice.
Oh, that's normal. Yes, normal practice.
It's normal practice.
Look, I carry a patu around with me open in public. I would never use it anger because it's not for that. It's to preserve the stories. It's to do karakia. It's to also pass it around and let children and other whānau touch and feel these things so they can get the ihi.
Yeah,
and
beautiful.
Feel the beauty inside themselves. You know, there's a lot in there. And to discuss anything in the Māori worldview takes days because it's a holistic worldview. You can't define it.
Beautiful, brother. Hold that whakaro. Finally, we're going to go off to another waiata. I'm going to play a bit of a message for our tāne, for anyone that's feeling down. But this is something that I used to listen to on my journey when I through my process. So my process was hard. I had times of crying, our self-discovery. But what I speak of this is tomorrow, Te Ara Arongo, we have our second intake of tāne. What's good about our rōpū is, so we come together tomorrow, and the next 8 weeks is decided by the tāne themselves. So we're not in there trying to tell people what to do. What we try and do is work with these tāne so they're in a safe space. No one is any better than anyone else. We create a space where no one is wrong, but where people are safe enough to talk about past traumas if they're ready to unpack. So I just want to play this before we go on to our next kaupapa with the bro. Whakarongo ki ine, see these kupu? Yeah, it helped me, and I hope it helps you. Anei.
Okay, I'm going to sing you just a little waiata. And this waiata is dedicated to all those people that might be feeling a bit mamai at the moment. You know, if you're feeling a bit down and out, you're not thinking straight, feel the whole world's against you, you know, and nothing's just seemed to be going right at the moment for you. Keep your head held high. One thing is for sure, don't forget about the good Lord above, because he'll never forget about you. And all you need to do is pātai a tukiāia. He's got all the answers for everything. Okay, so God bless you all. Ngā whakamuimiti o iho ngā mano, mātua tama wai rua tapu. Me ngā nahi ropono, mā ngai hei tau tupo mai, ae ne hake ni. Here we go.
Whakarongo whānei.
Ooh.
I
think 2000, I think it was.
Te atua Anei opono ngai whakamaimiti atu ki a koe Kia tukua mai tō aroha me tō marama Tāna Kia tikataku haere ki te mata o te whenua Kia uto maramatanga ki roto i ahaue Te atua Whakatū wheratia mai te tatau o te tika Paheretia ki te rangi mari e tātou katoa Kia roha tahi tāta ki raro i tō aro aro Kia noho pūmai tonu moa ke tonu atu Aue te atua Aue
there it is, funny. That was for our tāne. All that whānau that are having hard times or might be struggling in life, pressures of work, pressures of your own devious behaviours or pressures of even family life or being a father or being a partner that ain't delivering. Just always know that tomorrow is guaranteed if you're living healthily and, you know, life's good and you're making healthy decisions. And that's why I wanted to play that sing that waiata to my whānau out there that... Yeah, struggling in life. Always know, yeah. Shift that mindset. Hoi anō, ka whakahuki a hei ki tō tātou manuhiri. Kia ora whanaunga. I've got written down here because I wanted to actually ask this. There's two more questions I wanted to talk about, my brother. and I won't speak too much into it, but we're going to talk about the books that get read and got to put the gloves on.
Oh, that's right. A lot of the older books that I study out of are from about, I've got some around 1790 through to about 1868, but it's around the 1835 mark that I got a set of books that talk about the ancient history of England and heraldry, and it listed out the Magna Carta and why each of the treaties constructed the way they are as they progressed along with the original people that dwell in Europe, because William the Conqueror came across to England. He conquered the place, but he didn't take ownership of the land. He established a treaty to operate a business, basically, on the land in Europe. And when they set up the Magna Carta, there were a group of whānau in there who wrote in the original dwelling places of the original peoples of the land and protected them. So William actually, in the process of setting up the Magna Carta, protected the rights of original peoples all around the world with every treaty established with the Crown. And I think from 1790 to 1928, there's 51 treaties established by the Crown with original peoples. Some of the most stunning things that I've read about are the ones with the Canadian governments and the original whānau over there. And there's some precedential cases involved in those writings that the rights of the original whānau are completely legitimate. And that being said, they are entitled to certain privileges that would not normally be accorded people in that situation. So when we look at it, all of the treaties with original peoples, they talk about them being, feudiciary. So it's like you are recognised as children in the eyes of business, and that they are the carer over the top, and they will deal with all of your monies and your rights and your issues for you so that you don't have to worry about it. But to really call Māori an infant state is false. We have pūrākau and whakapapa that go back to God, and through the land. You know, even in the diary writings of Captain Cook and Abel Tasman, the uncensored diaries, because I have two versions of his diaries at home. One's written in the 1860s. It's quite different to the modern version. And he notes in there that the Pacific Nation had the biggest navy on earth with the fastest ships. They were very organised, they were healthy, there were no rotten teeth, no cancers, nothing like that was apparent in the people. And it was only after the diets changed and that the trade happened with other countries and influences came through that we started to see the weakening of the gene pool, and everyone started to get ill. And I'm suspicious, don't quote me guys, but I'm suspicious that the illness was used to wipe out families to acquire land. I know that's a pretty bold statement, but
I reckon there's some merit to that, bro. I think that Porirua might be warranted.
Yeah, well, you know, I just don't like to poke the line. Truthfully, you don't have to.
I will.
But I honestly think he tika tira, tira whakaro, and then like recently, I won't talk too much into it, but all the discoveries of all these urupā that we're finding.
That's why I bring it up.
These urupā that people are still living on top of our tūpuna, like sleeping, and then you're wondering why they're a little bit 10 cents short of a dollar. But that's for another day, but I love how you put that up, bro.
It's important that we recognise it. I mean, you've got the burial ground issue now. You know, I have other issues that have happened in this area as well. When I get into it, I was looking at who brought what land and what land was put up for sale. And there was a lot of land that the whānau had set aside in good faith that should have been returned.
Sure, Bri.
But was sold off. And, you know, sure, the proof's in the bill of sale, mate. I mean, like, yes, when we got through archives and had a good look at what was in there, there was enough information for me to query some things that are happening at the moment in the region and how to approach that topic without causing umbrage or discontent or people feeling ripped off. The biggest rip-off was at the start, guys.
Yeah.
Under our rubbish dump is a par, and not just any par, a significant par.
Wait a minute. Rewind.
Sorry, mate. These are things that I've become aware of.
Just to make this clear for the community and the hapuri, did I just hear you say that our local tip, what everyone calls the dump, is a par site?
Yes, sir. Shannon,
could it be anything more than that?
Yes,
possibly.
It's quite a large area there. It was a fighting par. It was a substantial. What was the name of it again? Potato, something. I can't remember. I've only just discovered it, like, about 3 weeks ago. And
Potere.
And even the end of where we've got the Waipō cutting across into the Rimuhanga, that's all par site. It goes across to the other side of the Rimuhanga.
I'm pretty sure, too, we read there's an Urupā site there. And, so I have a friend that lives out towards there, and we, you know, our other whānau across the river there, Mangaakita. But I have a friend that currently lives there with her whānau in there, and she actually messaged, and she wants to know a bit more about it because of what she's been listening and hearing myself, kōrero into. They're right there by the dump. They have a house right there. She wants to know, geez, are they sleeping on top of tūpuna too?
It's really tricky because there's been a lot of deception when we get into it. And I was going through newspaper articles, and there was a stunning piece in there from a journalist talking about an elder Māori whānau lady, and I can't remember her name truthfully because I just scanned it, and there was a falsehood of a will, and it was written about, and she actually was meant to be at the reading of the will from what I worked out, but she was kept out by two policemen so a false will could be read. And these stories, it's tricky to navigate through stuff because it's over 100 years ago, and some aren't. Some are even recent, like in the late 60s and 70s. Because remember, I grew up in River Road for a while there, and I lived in Kippenburger Street. I've come through, played roller hockey. Most of my buddies were all out of the block.
We've had some cool discoveries lately, eh? With our whānau there, eh?
Yeah.
Te Whareau and places and whatnot in the other locations.
Yeah, like, it's been quite a journey. We've actually had a chap show back up into the Wairarapa, and his whakapapa goes all the way back here. He's whānau. He's a lovely guy. He's an investigating reporter. I think he was on your show a week ago, maybe, or 2 weeks ago. But the stuff he's discovering and working through has been quite enlightening. It's certainly helping us navigate through things, and it is bringing to stark relief some disparities. But hopefully, with all this revival of truth, being tikka and pono as we are in our journey, we can work our way into it. And then, you said some whānau are wee wawa, they're having a few problems.
Or health issues, I see.
Yeah, I think a lot of it is spiritual, buddy. I really do. I live in the spiritual world. I do karakia before things, after things. You won't catch me out. I'm always doing them. You won't even know I'm doing them. God,
I like
is
how
king.
We do it. We'll just do it as we roll.
I'm not going to push the church on anyone, but I think if we look at Te Ao Māori, it's a very devout way of living, and it shows full respect, contrite and humble, to the greater powers that lord over us, the spirit world. And I think that everyone who's truthful to themselves believes there's something above them, something guiding them, something on their journey.
Cheer, my brother. Hold that thought. We'll just shoot off to another Waiata. We'll break our kōrero up. A name, a Hone Splintoff, ne Waiata to you.
Mm-hmm. I breathe you in without fail, and then I think twice before I exhale. But you're not mine to keep. You tell me you wanna be free. Yeah, you wanna keep it nice. You wanna keep it low key. Oh, but don't bring me down. Oh, just try to understand me. Won't you come a little closer and let me whisper to you? And I say you don't have to worry about a single thing. Just let me sing to you. Away. You'd like to shake me up, to break me up night and day. And you can do what you like. I'm not trying to be your one and only. I'm just trying to make you feel good. So good, so good, so good. Oh, but don't bring me down. Oh, just try to understand me. Won't you come along? Closer and let me whisper to you. And I say
you don't have to worry about a single thing. Just let me sing to you. Just let me sing to you.
Hey, so we've covered a majority of our kōrero, I think. Be fair, we're heading to Te Tiriti now. Could we speak a little bit of your understanding, my brother? Because yours adds up, my bro. And what I like is, yeah, your life on this Te Tiriti or Waitangi.
Yeah, cool, buddy. It's a broad topic that... For me, the treaty covers so many different aspects of our culture and our country and the operation of the infrastructure and everything. But the treaty ultimately aligns with He Whakaputanga, because He Whakaputanga established Māori as Māori here. So the treaty is the deal that we do to do business with the Crown, and the operating system the Crown brought across to operate here in the country was in good faith. And it's a feudatory, I think that's the way to say the word, which means they kind of overlord and watch over, because I brought it up before, they consider original peoples of the earth to be infants.
Mm.
But they aren't. That's a complete misconception. And to roll with it is actually illegitimate. And I brought legitimacy up before.
Rolling with it, suppressing us?
Well, look, when you're talking suppressing and stuff like that, they're the result of certain patterns of behaviour, but it's the legitimacy of the behaviour that we have to address. Look, all things are in life are either legitimate or illegitimate.
Kia ora.
So what are they doing? Is it a legitimate thing that they're doing? No, of course not. It's an illegitimate thing to be adjusting it.
I know. And I
say that because when it was set up, the tipuna who wrote it were aware of what was coming. There are many prophecies by Māori that are coming true right now. And people don't even talk about the prophecies. Yes. But the prophecies are there. I say it. The culture is holistic. The whānau culture is holistic. It covers every aspect. Spirituality, kai, love, empathy, housing, mana whenua, kaitiakiship. The two most important phrases that I've read out of all of these contracts are mana whenua and kaitiakiship. And look, my naivety, mana whenua was not what I thought it was. And when I got into mana whenua, I understood there was a holistic view of life that crosses over and past money. Money is not in there, boys. Seriously, guys.
That was our on the waters, our trading flag.
The flag. We're talking about privateering organisations now, Shannon. We've had that conversation another time. And I struggle with privateering organisation, private companies, the privatisation of
our country.
Assets that were not legitimately able to be privatised. As a legitimate act, that was an illegitimate act, privatising our state-owned assets.
This country is run by a privately owned...
Well, when they privatised our state-owned assets, things like the courts, the police, probation, places like that, they have to make a profit. They have to traffic whānau through the system to generate money, so there's money coming through. So there has to be a certain amount...
I love that.
...of available resources to traffic through. Well, how do you create those resources? Well, you alter the lifestyle of the people so that they don't realise what's going on.
So that traffic that trafficking us is a representation of maritime law.
No, that's quite not. Not at all. No.
Then traffic. You know how the system.
Well, look,
police.
I want to stay away from maritime law for a reason.
Okay.
Because that's not what we have in New Zealand. We have common law and a couple of other fields within that.
But what does Te Whakaputanga fall under?
It's contract law.
Yeah, love it.
Yeah. Well, I think it is. I might be wrong, but I don't think I am. The flag was created as a sovereign flag. It's recognised by six royalties when it was established that I know of, probably more. It is the legitimate flag of New Zealand. The flag that we currently fly is a war flag. And it's not a legitimate flag. Is truly not. The whole place to become legitimate in its behaviour and its actions.
We'll get there.
If we get tika and puno and every aspect of our culture, then the mana is held.
Kia ora.
And the mana you hold is kaitiaki to pass on to future generations. You shouldn't be weakening it. You're the kaitiaki of it. Ain't
yes.
God? Hard.
Just speaking of that, I just wanted to say something to you. For our research, my whakapapa research and my whenua and my whānau and my cousins, we can go right back to eels. So we're talking like 38 generations. And then we've got five generations making us stand in a courtroom and answer to them. We've got a fifth generation we've got to go to probation and talk to, and they tell us how to live life. We've got a fourth generation that manages our banks and tells us we're naughty and all these. They don't add up. It really doesn't. But that's what I've discovered. Just talking about that, my brother. I heard you say you can take it right back to eel. Yes, you are right.
It is. That's,
I could
that's
take it
distance.
Back to my waka, or
truly.
Both wakas.
Yep.
And then the last few nights, I can take it back to eel now.
And that's legitimate. Because the true law of this land is truthfully, you ready for this, guys? God's law. That's it. And God's law is kawa. Kawa is set in stone. Kawa cannot change. Kawa goes all the way
Here's
back.
Is God's law your A?
What you talk out.
Kia ora. Kawa.
You manifest kawa. I roll with kawa. I try to be as tika and as puno as I can every day of my life, because I want to hold that mana for my children and their children and their children and their children.
Oh, kia ora.
You know, and look, let's talk about this. You got a child acting up in town. They live under your mana. You have to talk to that child. What's the rule for this guy? You know, like people always say, that's wrong, you're naughty, you did this. Mm. Never approach that topic that way. Rock up there and say, hey, buddy, what's the rule for that?
Yeah.
As soon as they look at you, you know they realise there's a rule, you say, great, I'll show you how to fix this problem. Then you create problem solvers. You don't make them into criminal victims who get trafficked through the system every time. You've got to find ways through it. And look at the sensibleness of it.
Mm.
Someone's done something wrong. Brother, what have you done? Oh, bro, I'll show you how to fix it. Straight away, there's a way out for them. There's a way that they can move forward. Now, one of my bugbears in New Zealand is that every time you stick someone in jail, and this point really messes with me, and I'm not sure how it's come about, but it's as far as I'm aware, this is completely true. Legitimately, they've done nothing off their crime. Legitimately. That's as I understand it. It's all about legitimacy. And yes, I'm in big trouble for this conversation probably, but if I am, so be it. I'm standing proud. I'm standing ticker. I'm standing punal. I'm standing with the whānau. I'm standing for the people. I've spent 12 years of my life in this town straightening the place out, working with at rescue, people out of juvie, jail, all kinds of people. And ticker and punal was the answer. Brother, that's it.
I just want to talk into that, just around the support you gave me with probation. So, you know, I remember you just over a year ago, you used to come in as a support person with me to into probation. It was clear to me, yourself and I, that my probation officer at the time had no connection to me, let alone my whakapapa, my whenua, my kaupapa, my tikanga. And I always loved how, you know, I'd always ask you for support. You'd be there more than you should have been, I feel. That comes with also the mahi that you used to do up at He Kahui, which is run by our cousin Joe Nuku.
Yeah.
I just want to say and acknowledge the mahi you actually do for our hapuri, my brother.
Yeah, hard.
He rangatira, Joe. Him and his wife, they do stuff to help our people grow, you know.
Yeah.
And I'll never ever look past that. I've never ever another. When I grew, bro, I didn't even know how to apply for a house. I didn't know how to.
You brought it up, mate. The thing is, Joe was doing this journey out of schools with younger tauira and kaimahi and just younger generations. And
he kahui, brother. You he kahui.
Yeah. I work for he kahui now. Yeah. Yeah, and Joe and I saw what was missing. And when Joe came to me and asked me to help him, he gave me an open book to write a course, something I'd never had before. So I wrote the whole program around what does it take to be employable and fit into the world and understand your role in life. That's what the whole course is about. So when you said I came too many times, no, I didn't, to probation to support you, because what I saw happening in that environment was against everything that you were trying to achieve for yourself.
Wow, I know.
And you were on the right journey. You were tika, you were puno, you turned your whole environment into the right way, you know, that suits life, a good life, a happy life. And you realised that you needed help, so you asked for it. You know, look, help's always there, guys. There's so many people out there offering help, but you are one of the few people, Shannon, that actually took the help and went with it and used it properly and went sensibly with it.
I did.
It's all good to be offered all this support, but you've got to buy into it. Back there and get a free ride, which is what I see a lot happening.
Oh, I've seen it. Right? I've just seen it with your fellow's last intake.
Yeah, there was a couple.
I wish I was there at the beginning, because I want to encourage him to follow through on that course. Those fellows probably had other agendas while they were there. But if they put their trust in the process that you have set for them, bro, look at me. I'm the best example of aroha mai, of whakarongo.
Growth.
Growth.
Whakarongo. Of growth. But you're not alone. We've had a huge amount of people pass through the process of the course, come out the other side straight into full-time employment. And luckily, we have some fine companies operating in the area who offer good work and support for these whānau.
I just want to say with probation, just this week I went in. So the first time in the whole of my 30 years in the system, they said, I can report every 2 weeks. It used to be weekly for me because I was high risk. So that's a big thing. But also there's currently things going on within the system that I think this Friday it's disappearing because I've brought something to the attention, my sovereign rights, and I'd like to be, when dealing with myself, I like Te Tiriti o Waitangi Article 2 and 3 activated. So there's been some really good developments, and I think there'll be more on my own personal site. Well, I'll share about that this week, and I want to share how you utilise your own sovereign rights in a courtroom, and walk out of that courtroom, whānau.
That's quite beautiful, Shannon. You did really well with that stuff. The only reason it works with that sovereign first right that you're calling on out of he whakaputanga under to the treaty in Article 2 and 3.
Yeah.
If you're tika and puna and you're actually being truthful and honest and your integrity, your mana is up, then yes, what you're talking about works, and it's a legitimate course to take.
I noticed it last time, they threw it out.
You were being legitimate and honest, your integrity was sound, you know?
Yeah.
And it only works when your integrity is sound. If you try to go in there and manipulate the system, you know, that's not right. You know, be tikka, be puna in your life. I mean, we all struggle in life.
You're right. Yes, brother.
But it's how we react to the struggle, you know? Positively.
My brother, I am going to play a song, and then I'm going to come back and wrap it up.
Okay.
That's sweet about our hour. Yep. Here's a lovely song for our cousins today. Here we go. Got a few minutes left. I'm just going to wind down with just my gratitude for He Kahui, but I'll let the bro also speak into that. But I just want to thank everyone at He Kahui, cousin Māori, my cousin Wayne, Wiki, Shana, Kev, cousin Tammy. Who's our new whanangari?
Devel.
You, bro, and ki te rangatira, Joe. Just for the support that you've continued to give me, even after I left your fella's mahi, you know, that you've done with me, I could still pop in there and ask cousin Māori, cousin, I need help with this, or, you know, could you email these people? I've got people all over town that I pop into, but I just want to acknowledge all of yous up at He Kahui, my bro. Yous have all been part of that process, my bro. And I love how I'm living today.
It's
grateful, my bro.
The whānau aspect of He Kahui is te ao Māori. We never let you go. You know, you let yourself go when you're ready. They always will open the door for you once you've been in there and you've joined in with them. It's probably the most te ao environment I've ever worked in. And the way Joe's organised it is very, very clever. You know, yeah. All goes back to Kai, Hapu, and Kawa, and Tikanga.
Sure.
Important fundamental things. I think Kai's underrated in culture. Kai's important, you know. Thanks for that, Shannon.
Thank all the whānau up there. Cousin Joe,
yep.
Thank him. Tell him I'm still waiting for him and Marty to come up and have a kōrero on the radio. I'll have to go and pressure his wife and then she'll say no, go and get one of them.
All right then, brother, hoi anō. Tōku e mihi tēnei ki a koe e te rangatira mō tō mahi I roto I tō tātou hāpore nei. Mihi rangatira. Mihi hohonu ki a koe, Brother Trevor. Thank you for coming up. It's always a pleasure being around and listening to your kōrero and the knowledge that you share, the mātauranga that I grab from you. Once again, ngā mihi ki a koe e te rangatira.
Kia ora, bro.
Chat. We out, whānei. Ka kite.